At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is the Look Ahead with Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Coming to you from the Circa Sportsbook here in downtown Las Vegas, I'm Scott Seidenberg. This is the Look Ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Follow along on Twitter at ScottsOnAir and at VSiN Live. Sunday Night Baseball concludes another exciting weekend of Major League Baseball. The Dodgers finishing off a sweep of the San Diego Padres. This one, a 4-0 score here on Sunday Night Baseball. Cody Bellinger with two home runs. Talk about breaking out of a slump for Cody and some production there at the bottom of the Dodgers lineup. And it's interesting because leading up until this series, the conversation surrounding both of these teams was all about the reaction to the trade deadline. The Padres go out and make the biggest splash in the past maybe several seasons by acquiring Juan Soto from the Washington Nationals. And it wasn't just the Soto move. It was Soto with Josh Bell. It was getting Brandon Drury from the Cincinnati Reds. And a day earlier, it was acquiring one of the great closers in the game in Josh Hader from the Milwaukee Brewers. This Padres team was as stacked, or is currently as stacked as can be, or I should say they will be when Fernando Tatis Jr. comes back and is inserted into this lineup. So on one hand, you could say, yeah, Padres were not at full strength, but this was the first test for the new look Padres since the trade deadline, because prior to taking on the Dodgers, they were able to handle themselves against the Colorado Rockies, taking, what, 4 out of 5 games against the Rockies? And here they have a test against the Dodgers, and they fail miserably. Dodgers rout them in game 1, 8-1, game 2, an 8-3 final, and then 4-0 here, where, granted, Yu Darvish, what more can you ask from the guy? Darvish gives you 6 innings of 2-run ball. On a normal occasion, you should be able to win that game. But Tyler Anderson, 7 innings of 2-hit baseball. And the Dodgers able to get a 4-0 win and sweep the Padres. I'll be honest. After the trade deadline, I had talked about if these two teams match up in the postseason, which it appears they are destined to do, they will line up probably, well, most likely in that divisional round because the Padres will be a wild card. I don't know if they'll be, I don't think they're going to climb up to the first wild card, but they'll be in that 2-3 wild card range, which means that, the third wild card is going to face division winners. The other two wild cards face each other. And it's going to wind up, if the Padres get out of that wild card, which they should, they're going to face the Dodgers. And when that series happens, prior to this weekend series, I was saying, I think I would take the Padres. Especially at the plus money value that you're going to get with the Padres in that series against the Dodgers, because despite the gaudy numbers this season, I was really not a fan of the Dodgers starting rotation. And I felt that pitching matters more than the lineup in October. And if you're lining up the Dodgers with Tyler Anderson, who was fantastic here on Sunday night, Tony Gonsolin, Julio Urias, I mean, Kershaw, his health issues, I don't know if he's going to be healthy, but if he is, we'll line up Kershaw. But the Padres are able, with Darvish, with Manaea, with Clevinger and Snell and Musgrove, I just felt I would take the money with the Padres. But this weekend series was as big of a flex as you can give. The Dodgers went out there and just smacked little brother around and said, you might have made the biggest splash at the trade deadline, but we are still the best team in Major League Baseball. Dodgers are 75-33. It's no longer the Yankees who have the best record in Major League Baseball. The Yankees have lost 5 straight games. The Dodgers have won 8 straight games. Dodgers are the best team in Major League Baseball. And they completely flex their muscle here against the Padres. And I think it erases, and I understand that Tatis is not there, so it's not technically this 100% iteration of the San Diego Padres. But the Dodgers this weekend erased all the good feelings that people had about the Padres after the trade deadline. And everyone who rushed to place their bets on the Padres to win the National League, I think after this 3-game series and a reality check by the Los Angeles Dodgers, they might not be thrilled that they placed that bet right now. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. But is there a team out there that I think is the bet to make right now over the Los Angeles Dodgers? The answer is yeah. The New York Mets. The New York Mets are the second favorite in the National League behind the Dodgers. And what we saw here on Sunday was the exclamation point on why I think the Mets are going to the World Series. They didn't make a big splash at the trade deadline. They didn't acquire an elite arm or even any arm to help them out in their rotation. They got some bats to add some power to their lineup, much needed power that was missing. I mean, you have Pete Alonso, but behind Pete Alonso, there really wasn't much. So the Mets bolstered their designated hitter spot. They acquired Dan Vogelbach, Darren Ruff. So that's a nice little lefty-righty platoon. Tyler Naquin provides some pop as well when you put him in the outfield. And so the Mets lineup now, a little bit more formidable. But the biggest acquisition the Mets made at the trade deadline was the return of Jacob DeGrom from the IL. And on Sunday, Jacob DeGrom made his first start at Citi Field in over a calendar year. And DeGrom was elite. Took a perfect game into the 6th inning before walking a batter and giving up a home run and being taken out of the game. He retired the first 17 batters he faced. 12 of them retired via the strikeout. That is as dominant an outing that you will find. 5 2/3 innings, 1 hit, the 2-run home run by Dansby Swanson, after the walk of Andrianza. That's the only damage that the defending World Series champs, the team that is in second place and was creeping up on the New York Mets, that's all they could do against Jacob DeGrom. 17 straight batters retired to start the game. Only 5 of them put the baseball in play. 12 strikeouts out of the first 17 batters. He is otherworldly. And you put him in a rotation that already has Max Scherzer and guys behind them that are pitching tremendously. Chris Bassett, Carlos Carrasco, Taijuan Walker. Let's not forget Tylor McGill on the IL. David Peterson, a lefty that can give you length. The Mets right now are the bet to make in the National League. Because when you have to face DeGrom and Scherzer, 4 games out of 7, and that's not even counting if one of them is going to start on 3 days rest and pitch a game 7. You know, like what if the Mets line up this rotation in a 7-game series and have Scherzer pitching on 3 days rest and go 1-4-7, which teams have done in the postseason many, many times. That could happen. If that happens, you have Scherzer 1-4-7 and DeGrom 2-6. You got to face them 5 out of 7 games. How are you winning 4 of those games? But forget about that. Just think in realistic terms, you know, the rational terms, whatever, the normal schedule of having both those guys pitch 2 games each in a 7-game series. You got to beat one of them. I don't see the Mets losing 4 games in a 7-game series when 4 of those games are going to be pitched by both Jacob DeGrom and Max Scherzer. This is the bet to make now in the National League. The Mets in the postseason. Coming up next, we'll get the view from Vegas from our very own Dave Tooley. See what he's got cooking up as well. I'm Scott Seidenberg. Hit me up on Twitter at @ScottsOnAir. This is The Look Ahead here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is The Look Ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Baseball predictions made brighter. Join the Born in a Ballpark Challenge presented by Blue Moon to compete free for cash all season.
There's 2 kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18. My first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to
do
my game.
That's
my game. Season. Enter weekly prediction pools to fight for your share of $62,500 in total cash prizes. Head to DraftKings.com/Blue Moon now to join the action. Blue Moon, made brighter. 21 and over only. Terms and conditions and other eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Please drink responsibly. Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's the look ahead on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Joining us now to get the view from Vegas, our very own Dave Tooley. Dave, you heard the last segment. I was talking about the New York Mets as the bet to make in the National League, as dominant as Jacob DeGrom was here on Sunday. Your thoughts on the Amazons?
Yeah, they've really been impressive lately. And I also agree with what you said about the Padres. I have some division odds for in AL, and I mean NL, and the World Series from before the season. But yeah, they're definitely not a play now in my mind, because they're not going to catch the Dodgers for the division, so they're going to have to go through the wild card route. And who knows what's going to happen there? So yeah, you definitely want to focus on a team that's going to win their division for starters. So I like the Mets in that regard. Although I would throw out an argument for the Cardinals,
okay,
who have been red hot, seven straight wins. Every year they look like a middle of the road team, but I think it's just an organizational thing. They just know how to win, and they put their teams together and play good defense. And again, here they are making a run. They're now on top of the Brewers in the NL Central. But right now they're at circa. You can get them at 13.5-1 to win the NL. And 28-1 to win the World Series. So I think if someone's looking for a future bet and try and lock in a good number, I think that would be the value play for me.
I don't hate it. I just wonder if, because they're going to be the third place division winner, which means they're playing in the wild card series. So it's an extra layer that they're going to have to get through, as opposed to like the Mets or the Dodgers. That's my only concern.
Mm-hmm.
With a team like that.
Right, fair enough. But again, it's last year the Cardinals made that great run in September,
mm-hmm.
and they just seem to get their teams ready for the playoffs here. So it's going to be a fun stretch run here.
Yeah, they are. You think that this is going to be a down year, and it's the farewell tour for Albert Pujols and Yadier Molina, but nope, this team just brings up some more young talent, and they keep on winning. Speaking of winning, you've been crushing the first five game, Dave Tooley. Impressive with the run there and Tooley's takes. You have a first five play coming up for Monday?
Yeah, it's not the strongest card. I wasn't too thrilled with many of the games. But the one I do kind of like more than the others is, I'm sitting here right now, and I'll write my column for the morning later tonight. But the Angels, first five, even money against the A's. Obviously the Angels have been a disappointment all year. Certainly a better team than the A's. Should have a much better record. But Jose Suarez against Cole Irvin, that's pretty much a wash as well. So I think at even money, I think the Angels is the play there, the first five.
I might look at fading the Blue Jays tomorrow a little bit. I am not a Yusei Kikuchi fan. I feel like I've bet against them so many times this season. Although I will give him this. Since he returned from the IL, he's put together some decent starts. So maybe he figured something out in his time away. But it just seems like a guy that gives up a ton of hard contact. And perhaps the Orioles at home might be able to get him at a little plus money price. So
yeah, what's the price on that? I was looking at that one earlier, but I thought it was a little short.
Plus 130 right now.
Yeah, I didn't think it was quite that high. So yeah, that might end up being my second play, because I had like three other games I was looking at. It's a short card.
Yeah, it is.
Like I said, nothing that I really loved. Like I did love the Cardinals the last 2 days against the Yankees. Those came through. But again, hopefully we can keep the winning coming, shortening the game to five innings.
Yeah, it's going to be even higher, by the way, that price I bet on Monday, on the Blue Jays and Orioles. I bet you people come in on the Blue Jays. That's
yeah. A lot of times I've been finding that with my plays that I've been getting better numbers on, even posting in my daily Tooley Stakes Today column. Again, especially if you're fading a really popular team, you kind of expect that the late money, public money is going to come in on that and drive the price up a little bit. So, hopefully pick up an extra nickel or dime here and there.
Dave, let me ask you about the NFL preseason. It gets kicked off last week, obviously, the Hall of Fame game, and then coming up here this week, the week one, official week one of the preseason gets underway. Do you play a lot of preseason football? What's your take on betting the preseason or just the way that you use the preseason to get ready for the regular season?
Well, it's certainly changing now with the cutback from four games to three. A lot of the long-held beliefs and opinions about preseason football might be changing here right before our eyes. So we're still learning on how some of these coaches are affecting having one fewer game. And plus, a lot less contact at practices, less practice time because of the deal with the Players Association, all those kind of things, I think, lead to, the teams not being quite as ready. And so I think even though the totals have been shaded down because, we've seen over the years that the scoring in the preseason games lower, unders keep coming in. And so I think, even though I had the over in the Hall of Fame game, I'll probably have like 75% of my plays in the preseason will be on the unders. Mm. I usually start out playing, maybe I'll play three or four games this weekend and I'll see how it's going and then see if I'm going to, play more or just step back and wait for the regular season. So every year it's a little different in how many games I end up playing. But I do kind of like the Patriots this Thursday against the Giants. Giants have a new coach, so, he's learning how to handle this whole preseason too. And then you obviously have Bill Belichick, who always game plans and knows what he's going to be doing. So I think there's a little bit of a edge there. Plus, I'm going to be waiting to see, how much Tyrod Taylor is going to play for the Giants.
Yeah.
Behind Daniel Jones. If Taylor's going to play more, then maybe I'll back off, But I'd love to see more Davis Webb than Tyler Taylor out there. But Brian Hoyer for the Patriots, he's a pro's pro. He's going to get the job done. And the Bailey Zappe from Western Kentucky, I enjoyed watching him in his college career. So I wouldn't mind having him in garbage time for the Patriots.
Oh, not at all. And that could be a reason to like the over, maybe, because we know that Bailey Zappe likes to fire the football all over the field. I'm right. Curious about the Patriots, though. Bill Belichick is no coordinators, right? Not naming official coordinators. It's the first year in a long time without Josh McDaniels there. So I'm interested to see what this Patriots offense looks like. And I don't know if we're going to get a true look of it maybe here early on in the preseason, but it's one of the more intriguing things for me with this team going into this season.
That's one of the intangibles there. I mean, I'm kind of thinking that, based on what you said, Bill Belichick might want to, prove that he can do it without coordinators.
Sure, so sure.
He might actually be a little more focused than he is in the preseason or early in the regular season. Although, preseason, he is 49-36 overall in his career. So that's better than a lot of coaches. So, John Harbaugh is the gold standard for preseason. He's 40-12. Sean McDermott of the Bills is 10-5 in his relatively short career. So there are some coaches you can definitely look at that do take the preseason more seriously.
Speaking of Harbaugh, is it an auto fire on the Ravens on Thursday after 20 consecutive preseason wins?
They are laying, 4 now?
Yeah.
So again, I'm not going to lay it, but I wouldn't talk anyone off.
It's amazing. If you've bet against the Ravens in the preseason the last 4 years, you are not doing too well. Final thing, when you are watching some of these preseason games, you mentioned the Giants and their storylines, the Patriots and things going on. Any other maybe quarterback battle or coach storyline that you're looking forward to over the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, I haven't really focused on any. I'm kind of waiting to see what the coaches are saying this week about how they're handling their rotations. Usually we hear that like Monday, Tuesday. Hopefully by Tuesday, so I can put it in my point spread weekly column this week. But and there haven't been any that have totally jumped out at me. I know you mentioned the Raiders backup job you thought
But
it might be one.
Yeah, it's one already. after one game. And they're winning the Super Bowl, right? Because that's what happens after week one of the preseason. The team is going to win the Super Bowl. Dave, appreciate the time as always, and we'll be following along for your column.
All right. Thanks a lot. Good luck, everybody.
There is our very own Dave Tooley, senior reporter here at VSiN. Follow him on Twitter, at View from Vegas. Let's get the view from the other side of the counter. Coming up next, our good friend Dwayne Colucci, the sports book director at the Rampart Race and Sports Book over there, will join us, get his thoughts on possibly the New York Mets winning the National League and getting to some preseason football as well. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's The Look Ahead here on VSiN.
And all of our podcast options.
This is The Look Ahead on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. This segment of The Look Ahead is presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, the simpler way to experience nicotine satisfaction and enjoy lasting change on your terms. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are a fresher, simpler way to enjoy nicotine that have helped millions of people achieve lasting change by offering smoke-free and spit-free satisfaction. I don't know about you, but there have been times in life where I needed to make a change. I just wasn't ready yet. I'm sure a lot of smokers and dippers out there can relate. Zyn understands there isn't just one time to make a change. Everyone's timeline is a little different. Everyone's on their own journey. So whenever you feel like you're ready to take that first step towards change, Zyn will be there for you with the right strength, the right flavor, at the right time. If you're thinking about making a change and want to learn more today, check out Zyn Nicotine Pouches at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Scott Seidenberg back here with you. It's The Look Ahead here on VSiN. Joining us now from the Rampart Casino, we welcome in Sportsbook Director Dwayne Colucci. And Dwayne, earlier in the show, I talked about the New York Mets. After watching Jacob deGrom strike out 12 of the first 17 batters he faced, I'm looking at this team and thinking there's no better bet to make to win the National League than backing Scherzer and DeGrom in the deadliest 1-2 combo that we have in Major League Baseball now.
Yeah, definitely. And we're seeing a lot of action, I'll be honest with you, Scott. But, you know, DeGrom is amazing. We know the talent he brings to the table. And now to be healthy and Max Scherzer down the stretch. And they have some really good, relief pitches at times. You know, Lugo is serviceable at times. They have a great closer, and definitely they're getting what they needed out of Vogelbach and the additions they made. So the Mets are definitely going to be tough. And at the Rampart and South Point right now, to win the NL pennant, they're only plus 275. So think about that. They're now chasing the Los Angeles Dodgers, who were 21-5 in July. I mean, what a team this is. And they have dominated the Padres. And now the Padres made the acquisitions, and the Dodgers are still spanking them. So I'm just anticipating, Scott, a great NL possible pennant matchup to go to the World Series of the Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets. And the Mets definitely bring a lot to the table. They're playing at a fabulous level right now. I believe they're 70-39. What an incredible record, I'll be honest with you. I did not think they would be this powerful. But now with DeGrom coming back and possibly, like we said, that 1-2 punch when you get into a playoff series, that's so important. And it may even be better than what the Dodgers could bring to the table. Even if Bueller and May and those guys get back, you still have DeGrom and Scherzer, and if they're healthy, that's unbelievable. 12 strikeouts today, like you said. He was dominating and, showing flashes of brilliance. The Braves only had two hits.
Yeah, and now that gap in the National League East is 6.5 games. You mentioned plus 275 over at the Rampart and the South Point. If these two teams, which we expect to be on a collision course, if these two teams match up in the NLCS, do you think the price would be less than that on the New York Mets? Because they're going to be underdogs to the Dodgers, but do you think it'll be shorter than plus 275?
Yeah, definitely. If they make it to that round, I would say definitely the Dodgers would be about 250. So okay, in that range, maybe 270. You know, I would rein it in a little because the Mets are just a fabulous, like I said, they have this awesome pitching staff, some great relief, Lindor, Alonso, great players. They make great acquisitions. So it depends on how the season rounds out and how healthy the Dodgers are as well. You know, they definitely have to have beds healthy. They have to get some of the pitching back. So it all depends. You know, it's hard to look into the future, Scott, mm-hmm. when you have all these injuries and a lot of games left to play. But by far, these two teams look like the superior talents. But if San Diego gets going, you know, the acquisitions they made, and I couldn't believe that Milwaukee gave up Hader that easy. I don't understand a team in a drive that now has fallen behind St. Louis would give up a player of that quality. We knew that Soto was getting shopped, and San Diego definitely gave up a lot of prospects, don't get us wrong, for him and Bell. But eventually they have to get hot, and they're going to be in the playoffs because of the wild card. You have that expansion, and it's still a long way out. So it's tough to gauge how far ahead the Dodgers would be of the Mets, or if the Mets even surpass them if they continue to win at this level and the Dodgers ever fall into a losing pattern.
Yeah, and the Dodgers are still waiting to see any injury updates on Walker Buehler, Kershaw right. on the mend now. So we'll see what happens with that rotation if it gets healthier come September and October. You mentioned the Padres and obviously the trade acquisition, and this series, man, the Dodgers just showed them why they are still the kings of the West, right? Despite everyone being in love with the Padres after the trade deadline. Did you see a lot of action coming in on the Padres after the acquisition of Juan Soto earlier this week?
Yeah, definitely. You could see a little momentum going with the public, and they were trying to back them, you know, not as severe, because we know the Dodgers are the fan favorites out here in Las Vegas, and everybody loves the Dodgers, especially the way they're playing and rolling. And that streak is incredible. What is it, 20 out of 22, Scott, against the Padres?
Yeah.
They dominated them. So it's hard to get a lot of backing. Still know Soto has to get acclimated, Bell has to get acclimated, but we saw a little more, Padre wagers on the parlays and so forth. Not as much, full force Dodger action, a lot of swaying going back and forth, but still the Dodgers are the shop favored, as well as the Yankees, and that series definitely helped us a little across the counter because the Cardinals were able to dominate and really sweep the Yankees, which was definitely a shock.
You starting to get concerned about the Yankees with the way that they've been playing lately?
I think they had to come back down to earth a little. We know they have some pitching liabilities, but, Stanton isn't really healthy. You're seeing guys go out. Gallo sat out last night, and definitely he has a back injury. Rizzo. So, they're definitely going to have their peaks and valleys. The Yankees are a weird team. They flow off their hitting, and if they're not really hitting the ball, which the Cardinals were able to establish some good pitching other than today, it becomes difficult for them to win, and Aaron Boone is going to have to make adjustments. I mean, guys like Hicks, they're not always proven. They definitely fall into some definite slumps, and the pitching has to elevate and start to dominate, Scott.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Montas made his debut today, obviously did not go well, and the Cardinals finish off a sweep of the Yankees, who are in a little bit of a tailspin right now. Dwayne, preseason football kicked off last week with the Hall of Fame game. This week, we get into the official start of week one of the preseason. What's the preseason handle like for you guys over there?
Well, it was great, the opening game, because you had the Las Vegas Raiders involved.
Yeah.
But, we definitely see increased handle anytime football is involved, Scott. So it's a great thing. I love it from my perspective, from behind the counter. We're definitely going to see heightened handle as opposed to the baseball, which is pretty much the only sport that's going on. So it's great, a breath of fresh air. Definitely welcome. And I'm surprised, like you were touching upon earlier, Rod, you got the Ravens with 20 in a row, and we opened it at 5, and now it's down to 4. So we're seeing the public have, an opinion. So I love this, and definitely the NFL is a warm welcome at any sportsbook. Any director will tell you, Scott. So I'm loving it. I can't wait for the games, the Giant games, and Giants 1.5 at the Rampart and South Point against the Patriots. But always remember, you have to look at the backups, look at the guys that are trying to make the active roster and get off that practice squad. That's how you handicap the preseason. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Always check out who's healthy, who's holding out on contracts. That's very important. You already saw Harbaugh said Lamar Jackson will not play the opening week. I don't think he's going to play week two either, I'll be honest with you. So watch those news wires and the social media, Scott. That's how you handicap the preseason.
How big of a challenge has it been with the way that the preseason has changed over the past several years? You know, there used to be a time where, you know, the starters played a quarter in week one, they'd play a half in week two, they'd play into the third quarter of week three, and then week four it was all the backups. Now, with the way that the preseason has changed, the way that practices have changed, we might not see any starters in the preseason ever again.
Yeah, I totally agree, and that's because of the contract basis, how much value that a quarterback means to a team, a starting running back, a starting wide receiver. You don't want to see injuries. Injuries are definitely more prominent in this game nowadays. So it's all about money, I'll be honest with you, Scott. And that's why you're seeing a lot of guys hold out. Plus, you have contract situations, like I spoke about. Guys don't want to get injured and diminish their value on a potential contract. So definitely it goes to the money factor. It has changed drastically over the last 10 years. It's been amazing. You know, I'm around for the longest time. So I've seen 20 years how the preseason has gone. And like you said, you used to see quarterback battles, definitely starting position battles. But now that's a thing of the past. Most of the starters are established. They're making big money contracts, and you don't want to see them get hurt. And definitely, you know, you're seeing it already in practice with some of those teams. The Giants, they lost a key offensive lineman that they just drafted in. Mm-hmm. These guys are getting hurt in practice, Scott, so you have to equate that, and you can't really risk it in a preseason full contact game.
Nope. Dwayne, appreciate the time and the insight as always, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, definitely, Scott.
There
Thanks
he is.
For having me on.
Dwayne Colucci from the Rampart Race and Sportsbook. I'm Scott Seidenberg. More on the NFL preseason coming up next, right here on The Look Ahead on VSiN.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. You can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
My first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be
That's
my
day.
/store.
This is The Look Ahead on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The College Football Guide is out now. Start your football season on the right foot with expert profiles of every team, including trends, power ratings, and over-under recommendations. Plus, our best season win total bets, Heisman hopefuls, and playoff predictions. The only way to get access to this year's football betting guide is to become a VSiN All-Access subscriber. Sign up early, and for a discounted $175, you'll receive the college and pro football betting guides, along with full VSiN access all the way through the Super Bowl. Or join us for $40 a month and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Go to vsin.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the sports betting network. Scott Seidenberg back here with you. This is The Look Ahead on VSiN, the sports betting network. the NFL preseason is so different now than what it used to be. I talked about it briefly with Dwayne Colucci and others over the past, you know, several days as we had the start of the preseason with the Hall of Fame game, and then coming up this Thursday, the official start of week one of the NFL preseason. But back in the day, and I say back in the day, it really hasn't, it's only been a few years since this has all changed, but starters used to play in the preseason. This was the time where you got ready for the season. You had your starters play maybe the first quarter of game one. Starting quarterback would play like a quarter. And then in week two of the preseason, they might play the first half. In week three of the preseason, that was the final dress rehearsal. That was the closest you would get to a regular season game. Starters would play the entire first half, and then maybe like a series into the third quarter, because you wanted them to kind of get the practice of going into the locker room at the break, coming out of the locker room, warming up for the second half, starting and playing in the second half, and then they wouldn't play, and then the reserves would play the rest of the second half. And then week four of the preseason was for the backups, and the backups to the backups, and to round out your roster. Not just round out your roster, but also take a look at other teams and see which players are going to get cut that you could eventually pick up for your team, maybe put on the practice squad or whatever. That's the way the preseason traditionally used to work. And then somewhere down the line, the idea of playing starters in the preseason just went bye-bye. And perhaps, like Dwayne said, it could have to do with the contracts and the major investments that you have in these players, and you don't want anybody to get hurt during the preseason because it completely affects your regular season. Although sometimes it could affect your regular season for the positive. Remember, Trent Green got hurt in the preseason. Kurt Warner takes over. Greatest show on turf. Super Bowl. I get it. You invest so much money into these players that you don't want them getting hurt in a meaningless game. So there's limited contact in practice. They don't play in the preseason. And what winds up happening is you get sloppy football for the first couple of weeks of the regular season. And it takes these teams now a couple of weeks to get into the rhythm and the comfortability of the regular season. Bill Belichick, for years, the Patriots would, I don't want to say struggle, but stumble a bit in the first 3-4 weeks of the regular season. He almost would treat those first 4 weeks like a preseason. And then you go through the grind of the regular season. And you know what? Adding an extra game to the regular season also changes things. Adding a playoff team changes things. Teams now can afford to use the first couple of weeks of the regular season to get into it, to kind of work things out. And I also believe that there's so much information out there now. Every team has an entire department dedicated to scouting and to analytics and to film work. And now with all the advanced technology that we have, with the like in baseball, you would have the StatCast. In football, they have all that AWS stuff where they can really calculate everything and do spin the camera around and give you a 360 view of what's going on the field. And this player's top speed was this, and they took this route to get to a tackle or whatever. There's so much information in the preparation for a football game that I believe that now coaches and teams don't want to show anything in the preseason. They don't want to give anything away. They want the first time they play you in the regular season to be as big of a surprise as it could be. Because it's all about deception. It's all about not showing what you have. So that's why there's no game planning in the preseason. You go out there, you try to do some things. And yeah, you might show on film a two-point conversion play or two. Because like you'll talk about that with the other team. Like, you know, you'll talk with the other coaches. Like, hey, listen, I got to work on two-point conversions with my team. So when we score our first touchdown, we're going to go for two. Like, these are the things that happen during the preseason. You kind of talk about these things with the other coaches. So maybe that's something that you put on film. But other than that, there's not many plays that we're going to see in the preseason where you're going to look at what that play was, write it down, watch it over and over again, and identify it and say, hey, in the regular season, that's what I got. A lot of it is just reaction. A lot of it is kind of going through the motions and getting comfortable with where your teammates are and what everyone's responsibility is on that given side of the ball. For the defense, there's not a lot of complex schemes or blitzes. It's more reactionary. It's more about shedding your blocks and making the tackles in the preseason, as opposed to, hey, we're going to stunt this way. We're going to disguise this blitz. We're going to disguise this coverage and really try and fool the quarterback and not show anything. That's not what we get in the preseason. So I think you got to be cautious. Is the NFL preseason beatable? Can you bet on it? Yes. There are advantages you can find, especially if you know what backups are playing, what backups are not playing, starters that are playing, starters that are not playing, how seriously a coach is taking the game rather than just seeing what's on his roster. There are advantages you can find, but I think you have to be cautious because it's all about gathering information and taking that information into the regular season. The teams that maybe play harder in the preseason, that show that they care about it, that go through a little more of a cleaner look. They don't look sloppy. They look more organized. Those teams will probably start out the regular season on a positive note, rather than the teams that are just playing backups and third stringers and fourth stringers that look pretty sloppy to start in the preseason. In the regular season, when the starters are in there, I don't know how sharp they're going to look. So we haven't really seen it together. You know, and there are certain teams that, yeah, you're not worried about it. I'm not worried about Derek Carr and Devontae Adams developing a chemistry for the Raiders. Those guys played in college together. Not worried about that at all. But for other teams with new head coaches, with new offensive systems, I'm a little intrigued. And I need to see it first before I can bet on it. And if I'm not going to see it in the preseason, I don't know how confident I'll be in backing those teams in the regular season. I'm Scott Seidenberg. You can hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Plenty more football to get into, as well as Major League Baseball. Short slate on Monday, but we'll have plenty to dive into in the futures market as well. This is The Look Ahead with me, Scott Seidenberg, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.